on Talk Radio 930 WTAD. It's Wednesday. That means that Laura Sievert is here with Arts Quincy, and all kinds of exciting things are happening, so take it away.
Laura Sievert almost wasn't here because I almost ran out of gas on the way. I'm like cruising into Hy-Vee with like 2 miles. I'm like, oh man, this is rough. So we're off to a weird start.
She's had two pots of coffee, but she forgot to put high octane in her other fuel tank.
She has me a little ethanol. Yeah, that's good. So we've had a weird morning so far, but we've got a lot going on. I want to mention Chicago auditions that are coming up at Quincy Community Theater. You can still make your appointment for Chicago auditions. It's a really, really cool musical. You know, real recognizable tunes. But we're actually partnering with the Quincy Community Theater during our Follow Your Heart brunch. So those of you who have been listening may know we're doing a brunch again at the Quincy Country Club as our fundraiser this year. It's a Valentine brunch.
But it's on February 9th.
It's on February 9th, and we have a live cake decorating competition. Well, we got thinking about it, and we wanted to have a theme this year. So the theme this year is going to be all that jazz.
So you've got to rouge your knees and roll your stockings down.
That's right. I can't wait to see what these cake decorators will do. We have the Yum Factory. We have Crazy Cakes, Hy-Vee Bakery. I should have written them down.
Underbrinks.
Underbrinks and Cakes by Karen. So
yes.
Five live cake decorators. So excited, competing for the best cake decorator in town. In addition to that, and I'll announce the florists next week, we're having a floral competition, same theme, and we're really, really pumped about it.
Just but the people who go get to win these cakes to take home, right?
Yeah, that's the really cool
and
part of it.
And the floral arrangements, too. So you actually will walk away with a beautiful floral arrangement and or cake, if
right.
you're lucky enough to win them both, that you can serve for your Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. You know, we're really rolling out all the stops here. For a $40 ticket, I hope that you get a huge value for it. Brunch bites, of course. We have a donut wall. We have like a 6-foot donut. Oh, my God. So
Hy-Vee
many donuts.
Hy-Vee donut wall.
Hy-Vee donut wall is on there.
Yes, I had to eat, you know, the Chicago Bears logo they did the last
time.
I was like, well, now it's not even. So now we had to go eat another donut. So it can get pretty dangerous.
And one of the cool things about this fundraiser, you know, a lot of fundraisers are kind of nighttime things. This is a daytime event. It is kid-friendly. In fact, we have Miss Quincy and Miss Outstanding Teen Quincy who will be running an art project for kids to keep them occupied while you go enjoy a mimosa. We really want it to be a fun event, raise some money for the arts, of course, and have a really nice time. Ziv and Christ has just been confirmed as our pianist. We'll have some jazz music going the entire time. And we may even have special appearances by members of the cast that is TBD. We don't even know who's cast yet.
You don't know who yet is in Chicago, but they'll probably make an appearance. February 9th, Quincy Country Club, daytime event, kid-friendly event, children welcome. Watch cakes be decorated, watch floral arrangements being made right before your eyes, and the chance to win those. And how do we get tickets?
Tickets are available right now on artsquincy.org. I do want to say that we talked about fire code this year. We think we may be up against it, so we will. There is a cap on tickets. So if you want to come, you know, this is an event that's gaining steam. Love to have you grab those tickets early in case it sells out.
Okay.
Just
we'd
a warning.
Love to have a sellout. Time for one more thing. What else is happening in Arts Quincy?
We've got the Great River Watercolor Society's annual opening. I love this. It is happening at Quincy University's Gray Gallery this Friday from 4 to 6. And Great River Watercolor Society, of course, made up of all volunteers doing some amazing, amazing painting, and they do this each year. All of the galleries right now have great shows going on and exhibitions. Great new one at featuring Hannibal's Arts Alliance at
John Wood.
And so check out Arts Quincy Magazine, which is available online, and get all those gallery opening dates.
Okay. Coming up next, the Quincy Park District and everything for your mental, physical, and emotional health. Outdoors, indoors, and all around town with the Quincy Park District. Thank you, Laura Sievert.
Thank you.
We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and we're turning our attention to the Quincy Park District. The Park Board meets tonight, and of course, those are always public meetings, open to the public. If you've got any questions or concerns about the way the Park District is run, but we're talking today to Kyle Jacoby and Tyler Lang, and we're going to learn about them and about the job they do for the Park District, and we're going to learn about great things that are happening in the Quincy Park District. So let's start eeny, meeny, miny, moe, alphabetically, Kyle Jacoby. Start first and tell us all about your fabulous self and what's happening in the Quincy Park District.
Hello. Right now, with the Quincy Park District, we have online registration starting February 3rd. And we are also having our new yearly brochures out, so everybody can go get it. It's going around. It's at Hy-Vee's already. So you can go out and get that anytime now.
Okay. What is your job at the Park District?
I'm a recreation program manager.
Okay. So many of the activities that are in the brochure, you've helped put together and you'll help supervise.
Yep.
Okay. So February 3rd is when we can start registering for all the different activities that are coming up spring and summer.
Yep.
Okay. Wow. So doesn't it seem weird? Here we are in the middle of winter.
It's all coming
And we're already getting it all coming forward. Okay. So where can we get this brochure again?
You can get it at both the Hy-Vee's, the Park District office, and it's going into schools as we speak.
Okay. So you're targeting those kids and getting it right in their hands by sending it home
yep.
with the children. Saving money on postage.
Exactly.
Very good. Very good idea. Tyler Lang, tell us a little bit about yourself and yes. about what you do at the Park District.
So I'm also a recreation program manager. I deal more with the sports side of stuff from there. So I'll be dealing more with like youth soccer, our baseball tournaments we have coming up, and that kind of aspect of stuff.
When the Park District puts together a series of programs, I'm sure you look at like, the Croc Center, the YMCA, Sheridan Swim Club, a private soccer team, a private little league, or whatever.
Yep.
You're trying to use our tax dollars to make sure that the widest array of recreation is available. How
yes.
do you work with those other sports-related entities? Some of them are, you know, they're all probably not-for-profits, but some of them are more, you know, like travel tournament soccer stuff. How do you get all that together and work with all that?
You know, we're just trying to look, see what everybody's offering, and we want to be able to offer the community different stuff and a wide array of different activities to have the best outcome for everybody. And
is soccer still part of the Quincy Park District program?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So we are having a spring soccer league again, and then we also do a fall soccer league for the youth.
Okay, and I guess one of the ways to put it mildly is every child of every ability level is welcome at the Quincy Park District.
Yes. So we are starting a 3- and 4-year-old this year. So if you have 3- and 4-year-olds, they can play. So.
No, they really can't. But it's fun to watch them.
They can learn the game.
They can try to learn the game. It's kind of like when you go to see Little League or Y baseball or Park District
yep.
baseball. The ball is hit. Everyone runs to it. They don't have any understanding when they're
yes.
little about playing their position
yep.
because the person the ball comes to invariably can't do anything with it anyway, so everybody has to run over and help them. But it's important. I mean, what are you teaching them? At the 3- and 4-year-old level, obviously, they can learn a few skills. But what are you really trying to teach them at that level?
So we're just trying to get them out and have fun and get exercise. And, of course, it's enjoyable for the spectators to watch, too, so... Oh, that's always fun.
So getting them to be successful
yes.
at it, because obviously nobody's going to be kicking and scoring a lot of goals at that level.
Yes.
At what point does it become, do children start to wean themselves away from maybe a Park District offering and go to one of these traveling teams?
I would say it's a little bit older. I would say 5th, 6th grade
mm-hmm.
Is when we start to see more of that.
And is there still a parallel program in the Quincy Park District, or is it all taken over by private leagues?
We still have, I mean, we go up through 6th grade
okay.
For soccer, and then we go up to 7, oh wait, I think, we go 10 to 12, I believe, for baseball.
So. Okay, so if you don't make your team at your high school level, you can still play Park District
So
ball.
we don't have it for high school, but we
okay.
go up to middle school.
Okay, middle school, yeah. okay. So that sounds great. Now, when it comes to recreation for adults, who wants to speak on what is available for the older crowd?
We have adult softball, adult flag football, and then we also have adult tennis.
The tennis, I'm sure, is a pretty big part of the Quincy Park District. You have a lot of great tennis courts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you're going to play at the Racquet Club, are there other courts that, I guess Quincy Country Club
yes.
probably has some, but I mean, where the vast majority of courts in Quincy are on public Park District lands, right?
Yep.
Okay. And this pickleball, has become insane. That's taking over everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, we got some new courts up at Mormon Park this year.
Are they absolutely for just pickleball?
Yes.
Okay, because it's a smaller diameter or smaller dimensions,
yep.
right? Okay, so new pickleball courts. That's really taken over.
Yep.
Who's in charge of changing the name? Because I hate that name, pickleball. Not you?
It's just the name.
It's just the name of the game.
What you got stuck with. What about also, I know a lot of people like to play disc frisbee. You can pretty much do that anytime at your leisure. There's no charge for that, right? You just walk into any of the parks that have the frisbee golf, right?
Yep, frisbee golf goes year-round. A lot of people do it in the winter, too, so it's a fun game.
Where is that available?
It's at Bob Mays Park and Mormon Park has a course.
Okay, so two courses in town. Is one more advanced than the other? Are they both about the same? Or?
I'd say Mormon Park is a little more advanced than Bob Mays.
Okay, so maybe the beginners want to start out at Bob Mays and then maybe test your skill level every once in a while at Mormon.
Yep.
And you just start playing. You don't need a tee time or anything, right? You just go and use some common courtesy, I guess.
Exactly. Just watch where you're throwing your discs at.
Watch where you're throwing your discs. And so, of course, golf's probably a whole other thing you guys probably don't get too involved in because they've got a whole superintendent for that. But when it comes to children's golf lessons, are those offered through the Park District?
Yes.
Okay. And when do those kind of things start?
It'd be middle of summer.
Okay. So wait till the weather gets out,
yes.
school's out, and all of that. You have to follow the school calendar when it comes to youth sports. I mean, you really can't do too much until school's out because you can't have any practices in the middle of the day. But do you have, like, after school or weekend practices? Because certainly you can't wait till the end of school for everything to start.
Well, we normally coaches will set up their practice times. So they will make see what works best for their team, and we'll make a call on practices.
How do you decide who's on the team?
A lot of times we'll organize them by schools, and then if they have requests to be on a team, then we try to do our best with that. And then if they
so
have
like
coaches
the little kids, like if six of them are from Lincoln Douglas, you try to get those six together on one team.
Yep.
Or if their cousins want to play together, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You'll try to put the cousins together. So it's basically the choice of the parents and the coaches, but as far as you try to be a little bit fair, you don't want one team to dominate, right?
Yep.
You got to be careful about that, right?
We try to keep them as fair as possible.
Okay. Yep. I bet you always need coaches.
Yes. We're always looking for volunteer coaches.
Okay. So how would we volunteer if we were interested in that?
If you're interested in volunteering, contact me or Kyle. And you can email me. Or when you sign up online, there will be a question that will ask if you want to be a coach or not.
Okay. So any parent that wants their kid to be involved, they're always welcome to be a coach. Do you have any kind of special training or any kind of vetting, though? I mean, there has to be some kind of background check or something. You can't just walk in and say, I'd like to work with small children. That's kind of a red flag.
Yeah, we do have a background check that you have to pass. Yes.
And let's digress a little bit about parent behavior. Do you have a rule book when your kids are in these Quincy Park District leagues? Is there a little rule book? Parents are supposed to be respectful and kind, or do you just pray the referee can keep it together?
We really want them to be, I mean, the best behavior as possible. And at this age, we're just wanting the kids to have fun. And as long as they're having fun, that's what we want to
see.
So.
Now, also, let's switch to some natural beauty in our parks. I know that there's some new construction going up, I think. You're going to have to kind of refresh my mind about it, but there's some outdoor fitness stations, I think, being developed like around Bob Mays and the Cedar Creek Linear Parkway. So what's that all about?
We're doing our new fitness station so we could begin a fitness class, and that'll be partnered with Blessing Health Systems. And they will run from the fall, summer, and spring. They'll run through, and they're for people to go out and get more exercise and in a different way. So they can be doing running hills, pull-ups, monkey bars, all sorts of things for adults.
So is this like along the Bill Klingner Trail or is it in Bob Mays Park?
It's up closer to the Bob Mays Park.
Okay. So and Bill Klingner Trail, somebody called the other day and we talk about it a lot. And I'm a native Quincyan, so I have to be careful because I always assume everybody knows where it is.
Yes.
And they were like, I always hear this Bill Klingner Trail. Where is it? How do I get on it? So I said, well, you can get on it at Bob Mays Park, for example. It's open all the way to 24th. Is it open all the way down to 5th?
Not yet, I believe.
It's up to 24th,
yes.
Right? But then it stops at a little past 12th, or does it go down to, I mean, where does it end on the riverside?
Right now, it's part of it that's made is still down because they're waiting on a few certain things, but It ends at Bob May's right now.
Okay. So at 12th Street, basically.
Yes.
Okay. So I thought you could walk a little past 12th Street.
There's some construction, so...
Okay. It doesn't go anywhere. You have to turn around, right?
Yeah,
it
right now.
It doesn't connect to anything. Okay. But you can make it all the way to 24th Street. So that's a pretty long stretch for folks who just want to get out and walk.
Yep.
Or some kids ride their bicycles. It's kind of a safer way. And so this outdoor station will be part of that general area. People can do extra things. And then are you building a second one?
Yep, there's a second one getting built sometime this year in South Park.
Okay. And is Blessing Hospital paying for that, or is the Quincy Park District paying for that?
It's from a grant from undisclosed place right now.
Undisclosed grant, okay. That means Quincy Park District taxpayers are not paying for it, so that's all we need to know. It's free to us, right? Before I let you guys go, I want to thank you for coming on. Is there anything? I don't know a lot about what I'm even supposed to ask you, so...
So we are having two open houses for registration.
Okay, great.
And one is February 4th, and it's from 4 to 6. It's going to be at the Quincy Park District office, 1231 Bonazinga. And the second one is Saturday, February 8th, and that one is from...
9 to 11.
Yep.
Okay, so February 4th and February 8th, you can sign your kids up, sign yourself up, sign everybody up. You can get the brochure. It'll be coming home with the school kids, or you can stop by Hy-Vee or the Park District office and get the brochure. And that's going to tell you everything about golfing, boating, paddle boating. I mean, it's everything that possibly goes on in the Quincy Park District is going to be included in that, so you can get a really good...
It's also available online, so if you go to thequincyparkdistrict.com, you can go to the brochure on there as well. So
okay. Thank you. Anything else for the good of the cause? Did I miss something, Kyle?
Well, Mormon Park the batting cage and everything will open April 3rd.
Okay.
So that'll include the mini golf, batting cage, and paddle boats and all that up there.
Okay.
We also have our movies in the park this summer and our bands in the park. And our movies in the park are June 8th, 5th, that'll have The Lion King, June 19th, that has Aladdin, and July 10th, that's Toy Story 4.
Okay.
And then our outdoor concert series, which will be June 19th, which is Raised on Radio from an in-town, July 17th, Jukebox Reloaded, and July 31st, the Cheeseburgers.
Okay. Well, we'll be looking forward for information about those coming closer to the date. We'll put it on our community calendar, let everybody know. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We're going to talk today about an interesting event that's happening on Saturday, January 25th. The 50th anniversary and celebration of life of Donald Clarence Zanger. Donald Clarence Zanger passed away on January 25th, 1970, on a high school field trip to Chicago in a fire at the hotel. His sister is here, Mary Corti. Mary Zanger Corti, I guess. It's correct. You know, I never knew your maiden name, Mary. We've gone on trips together. I've known you, but I should have known you were a Zanger. You know, your chances of being a Zanger in Quincy are about 1 out of 10, no matter what happens.
Right.
But let's talk about this. You're going to have Mass at 4:30 at St. Francis.
Correct.
Obviously, you want the family to come, and you maybe want some of his contemporaries to come, who will remember your brother, and members of the deaf community, because there's a special aspect of this. Donald Clarence Zanger was deaf, but let's talk about the unusual circumstances surrounding this tragic death. He went to the Jacksonville, Illinois School for the Deaf, and this was like every other kind of senior field trip. You done great.
You did a good job. You performed great in your sports, but you also had to have good grades and good behavior in order to be eligible for this trip. So Donnie was lucky enough to do all those things, and Donnie loved sports. I mean, sports was his whole life. And so he was so thrilled to be able to go to Chicago, which he'd never been there, and then to be able to see a professional basketball game.
Yeah, that Detroit Pistons versus Chicago Bulls.
Yes, that was, oh my gosh, can you imagine being
17? Did he get a chance to do that?
No.
Yeah.
He went up on Saturday. They drove up on Saturday on the bus and stayed in the Conrad Hilton in Chicago. And Saturday night and Sunday morning, a fire broke out, which took his life.
I'm sure that, how old were you when your brother died?
I was 21.
Okay, so you were older.
I was older, yeah.
So
I was 21.
Again, thank you for your fortitude in coming on, because I can tell just by your demeanor, you're reliving it. I mean, there's
Oh, yes.
grief, grief is always there. There are stages of grief. You never, quote, get over it. You learn to cope with it in a different way.
You get through it, but you never get over it.
And that's why I think it's wonderful that your family and your siblings are having this to kind of honor, you know, that he would have been, this would have been his 50th class reunion. Everything would have been happening this year
if he had
survived. He would have probably been married, had children. He would have had all these things in front of him. And so this class trip turned into a fiasco. What caused the fire at the Conrad Hilton?
What they said is they had the boys were housed on the 9th floor of the Conrad Hilton, and what they said is they had a section of it kind of closed off, and they had stacked furniture and things off to the side. Somebody said maybe someone had thrown a cigarette. You know, those were the days where you could smoke and thrown a cigarette into that and caught on fire. We don't know, but the ironic part is, had Donnie stayed in his room, he probably would have been okay. But he panicked when he smelled the smoke and ran, and, of course, was overcome by the smoke. So,
did his deafness contribute, do you think, to his demise? In other words, he smelled the smoke. He probably couldn't hear if there were alarms. He couldn't hear if anybody was saying, stay in your room, or if anybody was yelling.
Right.
And it was smoky. He probably couldn't see. So here he was. Out in the hallway, he died actually of smoke asphyxiation,
correct.
Most people in fires do succumb to that. Was being deaf kind of contributing to the cause?
Well, I think you can imagine being caught in a smoke-filled room, and you have no connection with the outside world. You have no way to call somebody up and say, hey, I need help, or help on the way. A couple of the boys did think to open a window, and they went to the window and kind of got their air that way. But again, the room was dark. Smoke-filled, and, you know, most deaf people, because they are deaf, their other senses are more alert, are more developed, I guess you'll say. So I have a deaf sister, too, and both Donnie and Rosie were very, very sensitive to smoke and things like that. So I think that probably was part of the reason, you know, he did not know there was help on the way.
Right, and now we know, stay low, crawl, put a towel under the door. I mean, this is why the fire department spends all this time and energy talking to children and to young adults about how to cope with it. And your brother, unfortunately, didn't have those skills developed and so made a fatal error. If he'd have been able to get out, it would have saved his life, but unfortunately it didn't.
Right.
Now, were the two boys that died both from the School for the Deaf?
Yes, there was there was 40 students that went on this trip. The two boys that died, both were from the School for the Deaf, Bruce Kennedy and my brother Donald.
And the rest that survived, I mean, how horrifying for them. I mean,
oh my gosh,
it scars the whole, I mean, the whole class.
The whole class, yes. And this is a kind of a unique situation. They were, Connie Stevens, the singer, was in Chicago at the time, and they took the boys that were involved in this fire, they took them to see her. So they all got to see her. So that was kind of a way the school and I guess the Conrad Hilton was trying to help these boys overcome what had happened to them. But there were several of them that was injured. I think there were 6 or 7 that were actually hospitalized. You know, it was just a horrendous thing.
Just a horrendous thing. As a sibling, you never forget. You think, I'm sure, of what could have been.
Oh, definitely.
You know, no nieces and nephews from Donald. No wondering what he would have been, quote, when he grew up. The fact that he, you know, loved basketball and was so looking forward to seeing that game and just everything cut short at the height of when he was the most excited about being a senior and doing well in school academically and physically and having all this whole world ahead of him. What were his plans had he not passed away?
I don't know that he really had plans. I mean, he had loved to have been a professional baseball player, but
that was every boy's dream, right? Yeah,
right. But I don't know that he really had set plans. I mean, he just, like I said, just loved sports. And you know, those days when we watched TV, the sporting, we didn't have closed caption,
right?
So Donnie would watch it, and I mean, he picked up on everything. He focused on that, and he watched these teams, and he picked out his team that he was, you know, that was his team. Man, he followed them so. It was just a wonderful kid that loved sports, and he had, like, we had, there was 6 boys, so he had a lot of brothers to play sports with, and then of course us two girls we helped out too. But yeah,
you automatically had a team and the cheerleaders.
We did.
You're going to invite, really, you invite everyone to just come and celebrate his life.
Right.
If you remember him from school when he was in Quincy, if you're a member of the deaf community, if you're out there listening and you survived this, or you remember from the Illinois School of the Deaf, this is your 50th anniversary, you know, high school reunion year. Saturday, January 25th, the actual 50th anniversary death day, a 4:30 Mass at St. Francis Church. Your whole family will be there.
Right.
It's not a special Mass just for you, but you'll be honored at the Mass, so it's open. And then there'll be a reception at the Knights of Columbus afterward, where food and soft drinks will be provided. And if you want a hard drink, a cash bar will be available. And then Bob, Jim, Larry, Ed, Mary, Rose, and Mike will be there. And basically, you just want to remember, I love the pictures. You've got him, you know, dressed like a typical boy in his Indian headband. There's his best bib and tucker with a suit and tie. There's a more typical boy look for class pictures. And then, of course, a picture of him when he was older. The best thing that can happen out of something like this is that it never happened again. How did this change your family?
It changed me a lot. I mean, I was very, very cautious as far as going into hotels or any place, knowing where the exit was to get out. And I think our whole family can say that, you know, we were more cautious about things that could happen, especially at a special moment when you're so excited about being able to see something you really, really, really wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Donnie did go to school here in Quincy until he was probably about 14. So there may be some people here in Quincy that remembers going with him and going to school with him. Because they went to a special school. It was a school that state put together, but they had brought teachers in. But when they got to their elementary school done, then they had to go to ISD.
One of my girlfriends sent her child to ISD, and she said, I hate it. You know, it's like sending your kid away to boarding school, literally. And she said, a lot of parents around here, that's not their custom. She said, but all of a sudden, I saw him communicating with other 14-year-old boys and realizing that he didn't need his mother to interpret for him, and he didn't need... She said, it was such a wonderful thing. The Illinois School for the Deaf. I mean, again, what a wonderful thing. This happened to end in tragedy, but, you know, the field trips, the things they expose them to, that make them acclimate to the hearing world, because they're going to have to live in the hearing world. And but to know that there are people around that you can communicate with, that your peers, your mother doesn't have to interpret for you. You can go and ask a girl to the school dance.
That's right.
You know, you don't have to have your brother, you know, help you out and do that. So
that was what's so wonderful. When he was here, he was more or less isolated because they wanted, at the time, the philosophy was to lip read. They wanted him to lip read. So there wasn't a lot of signing at our house. In fact, we were forbidden from signing at our home. And when he went to ISD, it was like a changed person. He just became so talkative in his signing, you know. And we all learned fingerspelling, so we could fingerspell to him. So it was just almost a miracle to see the change in him in a short of time.
We'll have to do a whole other show on how we used to do things wrong.
Right.
But when we know better, we do better. And
right.
So now we're, and my brother knows American Sign Language. A lot of people know it. It's just fun to be able to communicate with your friends. You know, yeah, they can lip read, most of them, but it's nice to put that extra effort into it. After
all,
these are your friends. Thank you so very much, Mary, for
you.
Coming. Saturday, January 25th, if you went to school with Donnie Zanger, if you remember him, it's your 50th high school anniversary. And so if you're in that crowd, if you're a member of the deaf community, if you are a Zanger, come.
Please come. We'd love to share our stories with
and,
you.
And that night there'll be a reception after Mass at the Knights of Columbus. And just come and honor the life that was Donald Clarence Zanger. Passed away January 25th, 1970. Thank you, Mary, for sharing
your
story today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Appreciate
your time.